This is the voice of the Trumpet Magazine. News, economy, politics, trends, discovery, health, family, the Bible, the future. This is Trumpet Hour.
Hello there, and thank you for joining us on Trumpet Hour. I'm Jeremiah Jacques, filling in today for your regular host, Mr. Joel Hilliker, and we're going to discuss French President Emmanuel Macron, who has really been surreptitiously doing the bidding of Germany in recent months. There's a fascinating dynamic at play between France and Germany right now, and Trumpet writer Josue Michel will be delivering a report about this that really just exposes what is underway and where it's leading. And he'll give us several key takeaways and also explain why it's all so significant in the context of Bible prophecy. I think you'll find Josue's report and the conversation we have sobering and illuminating. But before that, there's a chilling story that broke this week about Chinese spies in the United States. The U.S. government recently expelled two Chinese embassy officials after the men, along with their wives, entered a military base in Norfolk, Virginia. This is a highly sensitive base installation there in Virginia, which is home to some of America's elite special operations forces. So it's a critical area, and these four Chinese individuals drove up to a checkpoint at the base's entrance, and they were unauthorized to enter, so a guard instructed them to go through the gate and then turn around and exit the area, which is common procedure in a case such as that. But these individuals disregarded the instructions that they were given, and they continued onto the base without authorization of any kind. And reports show that they evaded U.S. military personnel who attempted to stop them. And they only eventually stopped their car when they were forced to do so by a motorcade of vehicles that the authorities had mobilized to block their path. U.S. authorities say that at least one of the Chinese officials was an undercover intelligence agent for China, operating under the cover of a diplomat. And U.S. officials rejected claims that these four intruders had made an innocent mistake, and that their English language skills were insufficient to really understand the instructions that they were given. This incident on the Norfolk, Virginia military base happened back in September, but the news of it was only just made public on Sunday. The story was broken by Edward Wong and Julian Barnes in the New York Times, and they wrote, quote, "It is not clear what the intruders were trying to do on the base, but American officials said they believe it was to test the security at the installation. Had the Chinese officials made it onto the base without being stopped, the Chinese embassy could have dispatched a more senior intelligence officer to enter the base." End quote. So it's unclear exactly how much compromising intelligence was ascertained from this base breach, but the security implications are enormous. And so the U.S. decided to expel these Chinese diplomats over the incident. They were sent back to China, and this marks the first time in more than three decades that Chinese diplomats have been officially accused of espionage. But it's only the latest in a long string of incidents revealing that China poses a colossal espionage threat to the United States. Greater, experts say, than that of any other country. Evan Medeiros, a senior Asia director at the National Security Council under the Obama administration, told the New York Times, quote, "For much of the first 40 years of U.S.-China relations, Chinese intelligence was not very aggressive, but that changed about 10 years ago. Chinese intelligence became more sophisticated and more aggressive, both in human and electronic forms." End quote. Earlier this year, a Chinese student named Zhao Qianli was sentenced by U.S. authorities to a year in prison after he was convicted of photographing a U.S. defense intelligence installation near Key West, Florida. After he was caught on the base without authorization, taking detailed pictures of various parts of the facilities, he said, just like the four Chinese people on the Norfolk base, that he was lost, turned around, and didn't mean to be there. Chinese nationals have also been caught entering university laboratories without authorization and stealing not just information, but even the items being engineered. In 2016, a Chinese man named Mao Heilong pleaded guilty to stealing genetically engineered corn seeds from American agribusiness companies. And just before he was arrested, he was successful in sending those seeds to China, where scientists can reverse engineer and mass produce them. In 2018, a Chinese state-owned company stole patented American DRAM chip technology worth an estimated $8.8 billion. And the list goes on and on. Chinese spies in recent years have also been caught stealing American intellectual property regarding jet engines, wind turbines, biopharmaceutical products, genetically modified rice, and much more. For the Chinese, spying and stealing proprietary technology are pillars of defense strategy and of economic growth. John Bennett, the special agent heading up the FBI's San Francisco office, told the LA Times last year that China wants information and technology by hook or by crook, and the Chinese will do whatever it takes to steal it. So the scale of this threat is both impressive and chilling, and it has been increasing rapidly. And even when China's operatives are caught and prosecuted, the nation's leadership, the Chinese Communist Party, is undeterred. John Bennett said, quote, "They don't care if they get caught or if people go to jail. As long as it justifies their ends, they are not going to stop," end quote. And despite getting caught from time to time, as with the Norfolk, Virginia case, the efforts as a whole are largely successful for China, and it looks like China usually gets away with it. We don't know how much Chinese spies have told their government about American defense systems and military installations. We don't know about all the cases in which the spies are successful in reporting back to Beijing and are never caught. But we do know that much of China's espionage and theft has been remarkably successful because we see China producing products that are obvious copies of the intellectual property of American companies and of the U.S. military. Politico wrote about this last May, writing, quote, "Again and again, high-tech products and military equipment have popped up in China that bear a too striking resemblance to their American counterparts," end quote. Experts say that when it's all added up, China's intellectual property theft costs the U.S. between $225 billion and $600 billion every year. Every single year. On the high end of that estimate, that would equal $1,870 for each man, woman, and child in the United States. That's how much the Chinese spies take from America every single year. More and more onlookers are coming to see just how serious this ongoing assault is, but there's something far more momentous about China's theft of American intellectual property and defense secrets that very few analysts recognize. And that is that this type of theft was foretold in Bible prophecies that were written thousands of years ago. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 are sometimes referred to as the Bible's blessings and curses chapters. These chapters discuss specific ways God promised that he would bless the nations of Israel if they obeyed him, and specific ways he would curse them if they chose to reject him. And Israel here refers mainly to the United States and Britain, which is thoroughly explained in our free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. If we take a look at the politics, the entertainment, education, industry, and even the religion in the U.S. and the U.K. today, it's not hard to see that God is being rejected in almost every facet of life. Deuteronomy 28 verse 33 records one of the specific curses that God said he would inflict upon these countries if they rejected him. This verse says, "The fruit of your land and all your labors shall a nation which you know not eat up, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed always." On the Senate floor, in May of 2018, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer discussed the endemic problem of China stealing American intellectual property. And he said, quote, China continues to steal our family jewels, the things that have made America great, the intellectual property, the know-how in the highest end industries. It makes no sense. End quote. In ordinary circumstances, Schumer would be accurate in saying that this ongoing, nation-threatening thievery of the U.S.'s most sensitive and prized knowledge and assets makes no sense. But since the U.S. was specifically prophesied in the Bible to have its fruit and labors devoured by an enemy nation, because of that prophecy, the pattern that we now see playing out makes perfect sense. The people of America are rejecting their Creator and His laws, and as a result, God is letting America become oppressed and crushed by a foreign power, exactly as He warned He would in Deuteronomy 28:33. But Bible prophecy doesn't end there. The same Bible that accurately foretold modern America having its fruits and labors devoured and stolen by an enemy nation also says that thievery will not be allowed to go on indefinitely. Isaiah 65, verses 21 through 23, discuss a time in the future when earth will be under God's government instead of under man's flawed and corrupt governments. And it shows that spying and systematic theft, like the type that China engages in today, will be relegated to the dustbin of history. This passage says, quote, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain." This is a deeply inspiring picture of the future, and it can fill us with hope. To understand more about China's role in Bible prophecy and the time of peace and justice that is on the horizon, please order your free copy of Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's booklet, Isaiah's End Time Vision.
This is the voice of the Trumpet News Magazine. You're listening to Trumpet Hour.
In Europe, French President Emmanuel Macron is speaking more and more boldly and making more and more demands regarding Europe's place on the global stage. But a look below the surface shows that at the heart, this is really a story about Germany, as we will now hear in this report from Josué Michels.
Yes, as you probably have noticed, French President Emmanuel Macron has drawn the media's attention solely on him with some of more controversial and really outrageous statements. He wants to be seen as Europe's strongman, as Europe's leaders in the time of crisis. And in doing so, his rhetoric has become much more aggressive and really hostile towards the US and Great Britain. But if you look beneath the surface just a little bit, you can see that he acts as a mouthpiece for Germany's interests. Macron's demands are in many cases what Germany wanted decades ago. Now, why is that? Now, for one reason, France and President Macron realizes that Europe without Germany is nothing. It will be trodden under the foot of Russians if they don't come together united and empowered by Germany. They will shrink into insignificance compared to the US and China. So here's Macron, and he wants to empower Germany to make that European idea of his work. But look at what he demands. In November 2018, he called on a true European army to protect Europe from, quote, China, Russia, and even the United States. Just recently, he called the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, he called it brain dead. But while he is distancing himself from the US, he is promising France's love to Germany and also started courting Russia. Those are some unprecedented statements, especially coming from a French president. But behind all these demands and reforms and efforts to reorientate the European Union hides a completely different force. And this force has been working underground for several decades. We will see that it was Germany that made those same demands long ago, and we will see that Germany is really interested in what Macron is demanding. Just consider this. Just after Emmanuel Macron was inaugurated, he gave a speech on September 26, 2017 in Sopron, France. And in his speech, he essentially urged every member state to fight for Europe's sovereignty rather than their own. In all criticism for Brussels, Macron said, "We are, quote, forgetting that Brussels is us, always and at every moment. It is up to Europe to make proposals, up to us to support them, here and now." End of quote. Now, if you understand who controls Brussels, you understand what that demand really is about. Here's Macron at the very beginning of his term to call on all of Europe to get behind Brussels, the headquarters of the EU. But it is Germany that is controlling Brussels. Here's what Trumpeter editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury wrote concerning Germany's rule over the EU, quote, "Germany is the EU's largest and most powerful and most influential nation. It is using the EU as a tool to stealthily fulfill his own ambitions. Anyone who has followed the European Union knows that nothing significant happens in Brussels without Germany's sanction and endorsement." End of quote. Now just imagine a German chancellor would come out and address all of Europe and say, "You all need to shut the mouth of your critics and just do what Brussels tells you to do." And really, Brussels is just doing what Germany dictates Brussels to do. As we prove in our literature, most diplomats in Brussels are German. And Germany is the economic force behind this European Union. Without Germany, just nothing works. But let's take a closer look at Macron's comments about NATO. NATO's apparent brain death is nothing else but a criticism against the leadership of the US. Instead of supporting NATO, Macron calls on Europe to form their own military alliance. Now, for years, the European member states haven't paid their fair share for NATO, so Macron could have called on Europe to support NATO more, but instead, he calls on them to form their own military alliance. Now why? The main difference between a European army and supporting NATO is the difference on who you support, on what leadership you follow. NATO is led undoubtedly by the US. And without questions, a European army would be led by Germany. Now, Macron may dream that he could lead that European army. But if you consider Germany's military strategists today and how they are backed by Germany's great military industry, it's hardly fathomable that they would follow France's leadership into any kind of war if you consider France's history. Here's what Mr. Fleury said about his coming European army. Clip 1.
See, I want to focus more today, and I did not get into this too much last week, but I wanted to focus on this true European army. What is he talking about? Is it something they're just thinking about? Or is it something almost, well, we could say already looking like a superpower? There's a lot going on in Europe with their military that most people know very little, if anything, about. Germany has quite a history, as you know, because they started World War I and World War II. But here is Macron saying now that really, indirectly, and he's implying that Europe doesn't need NATO anymore. So we don't want NATO. We need a true European army. It's not enough that they've been protected by America and Britain in many ways. Now they have their own power going today, but they had a lot of power in World War II, but it still took the Nazis and the Germans only about 6 weeks to conquer them. So they need certainly help in many times, but they've just decided to, well, just join in with Germany. That's going to be the greatest shame they've ever experienced when they betray their own brothers, and God has a lot to say about that, and they should be just grossly ashamed of what they have done.
Here we see France and Germany coming together to build a European army. France in the past has been conquered by Germany various times, most recently in 6 weeks in World War II. France has enough to be conquered and dominated by Germany, but instead they have now decided to submit to German rule, to cooperate with Germany, that they are no longer under the shame of being defeated by Germany. And in doing so, they are betraying Britain and the US. And of course, getting rid of NATO is totally in the interest of Germany. Just consider what NATO's first Secretary General, Lord Hastings Ismay, said about it. He described NATO's goals as the following: keep the Russians out, the Americans in, and the Germans down. It's no surprise that Germany doesn't want that rule. But if you think about it, it would be in the interest of France to have NATO and the US protecting Europe instead of Germany. But now France, and especially Emmanuel Macron, is increasingly voicing Germany's interest, while Germany is hiding behind him. Now, German Chancellor Angela Merkel has agreed to Emmanuel Macron that Europe needs their own army, but she insisted that it needs to depend on the NATO alliance. But if you leave aside what Germany officially claims, then you see that Macron is really calling on what Germany demanded all along. Germany never really wanted to join NATO. The primary goal following World War II was to regain military sovereignty and form an European army. Back then, it was the French Parliament that prevented just that in 1954. They rejected the formation of the European Defense Community because they feared a strong, rearmed Germany would dominate and suppress its neighbors. Macron doesn't have that fear anymore. Even though Germany has neglected its army in recent years, it still dominates Europe. Imagine what happens if Germany commits its industrial might and economic strength to its army. Clearly, Macron trusts Germany more than he trusts the US and Britain. But it was Germany that repeatedly sought to destroy France in just recent history. But Macron wants more than just an army. He wants to unite Europe's arms industries. Now, if you understand how Germany's economy works and how strong their industry is, it's easy to see how Germany will control a united European industry. But Macron wants that industry because he knows it's the only way that Europe can stand united, independent from the US, independent from Britain. So it's that hatred against the US and Britain that's motivating Macron most of all. Now, there are a few other statements that show that Macron is really acting in the interests of Germany. For years, Germany tries to export more and more arms to Saudi Arabia, but the public in Germany is very opposed to those exports. And who was it that called for more arms export in January of this year? It was the French president, Emmanuel Macron. Another example is Europe's relationship with Russia. It's greatly in the interest of Germany to keep that relationship going. Germany's businesses and industries urging the German government to end the sanctions against Russia because they are hurting Germany's economy. But if Germany makes bold statements to support Russia, there would be a huge public outcry in Germany and especially in Eastern Europe. But who is it that calls for a reapproachment and a re-evaluation of the relationship with Russia? It's again Emmanuel Macron. Notice turn of events and Macron's betrayal of Britain and the US has been prophesied in an astonishing way. In The United States and Britain in Prophecy, the late Herbert W. Armstrong explains that France, Britain and the US are part of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Britain and the US are modern descendants of Joseph. The French people are descendants from Reuben. As Mr. Fleury explains in a series of Key of Davids about France and Bible prophecy, France is prophesied to betray the US and Britain, just as Reuben betrayed Joseph. Here's another quote from Mr. Fleury, which he made in a Key of David about his subject, clip 2.
Now Britain is already, well, getting out of the EU because then they wanted to get out because it was a combine there that was absolutely domineered by Germany. They had had enough of those two world wars, so they're stepping out. That's the main reason the people wanted out, because they didn't have the freedom they should have. They had to submit to what Germany wanted mostly. And so they got out. And so this statement by Macron is also a betrayal of Britain, which is one of the sons of Joseph.
Because France empowers Germany, we are about to see the resurrection of the European superpower that has plagued the European continent for centuries, the Holy Roman Empire. Mr. Fleury explains this in his article, France rejects America and empowers Germany. And I quote from this article, France is going to end up suffering under this power like so many other countries. It will be the greatest shame the French have ever experienced, betraying their brothers and turning to Germany. But Jesus Christ is going to smash that empire and rescue them from that shame. End of quote. Mr. Fleury here refers to prophecy in Daniel 2, that identifies this European superpower as the last empire to rule this world prior to the return of Jesus Christ. The Daniel 2 image shows a successive rule of various empires that will lead to the return of Christ. The last of this empire is represented by the 2 feet of this empire and the 10 toes. As we can read in Revelation 17, the 10 toes refer to 10 kings. But notice that in Daniel 2 it says that the feet and toes are part of potter's clay and part of iron. In Daniel Unlocks Revelation, Mr. Fleury explains, the clay represents some of the lost tribes of Israel, and God wants to shape and mold them. Yet Israel refuses. Here, in this beast power, Israel is mixed right in with the Gentiles. They're able to come together in an emergency, but the unity won't last. It is a divided empire. End of quote. Here we see France mixing in with this powerful German-led European empire, giving its strength to Germany to make that European empire work, but it will only work for a short time and will be ultimately succeeded by the return of Jesus Christ.
Well, thanks very much for that, Josue. This is it's a fascinating and a sobering development here, with France really, just doing Germany's bidding in a way and acting as a mouthpiece for Berlin. It really does vindicate, as you said, what Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong wrote about for so many years about Germany and Europe, and also what Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury has written about this topic of a soon coming European army led by Germany, and also of a French betrayal of the United Kingdom and the U.S. that'll help pave the way for that army. So France and Germany, obviously, as you said, they seem eager to push for this end to NATO and this, you know, really developing in a strong way this EU army. But what about the other nations of Europe? Do you have a read on how some of the smaller EU nations feel about this push?
Yes. Eastern Europeans are very concerned about the security of the European continent. They're concerned about Russia's rise in particular and what they are doing in the Ukraine. Now, Eastern Europe, they are afraid that Germany will not protect them, perhaps, in such an attack because what they have done before. But they also know that that might be their only chance for survival. So they are pleading with Germany to do more for Europe's security. They're also pleading with the US, but they don't know how long the US will guarantee Europe's security, so they're in desperate need for a larger European army in which every European country can contribute and that provides that security for the continent. So Eastern Europe is really concerned about that. And really all of Europe is concerned about a European army because they don't know how long the US will continue their support for the continent.
Okay, well, thanks very much. It looks like, especially with Brexit having a big push this week, one of the few remaining obstacles to this European army led by Germany is really being removed. So we could see some rapid developments there. And I know that you also devote a lot of your time to just kind of monitoring the dangers of German dominance over Europe and just to pinpointing how that manifests itself in specific ways across the continent. You had an article that went up this week on thetrumpet.com about a pipeline that really demonstrates these dangers. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, the pipeline you're referring to is called Nord Stream 2, which connects Germany directly to Russian gas. And that pipeline is very controversial, even within Germany. The German government becomes a lot of criticism from German media outlets that criticize this project. And part of the reason is because many believe that it will make Germany more dependent on Russia and drives Germany away from its former ally, the United States. But it's also even more concerning when you consider what Russia is currently doing in the Ukraine. For years, Russia has been bullying the Ukraine and taking over that country bit by bit, causing turmoil, causing political turmoil, and causing really a military revolt in that country. So the Ukraine is afraid that without European support and that Russia is going to swallow them up. Now, if you consider what Nord Stream 2 is going to do, how much more power Russia is going to have over the Ukraine, that's really all the more concerning. Officially, Germany says they are all supporting the Ukrainian people. They will do everything to protect the sovereignty of that nation. But Nord Stream 2 is doing exactly the opposite. The Ukraine is a transit country for Russian gas. In other words, the Ukraine economy depends on the money they get for allowing Russia to pipe their gas through their country to other European nations. Nord Stream 2 undermines that. So if Nord Stream 2 is finished, Russia could cut off Russian gas supplies to Eastern Europe, and Germany could use the Russian gas they are getting through Nord Stream 2 to supply that Russian gas to other European nations. But that would mean that the Ukraine economy is losing a large portion of their annual income. And what's more, Russia could further threaten the Ukraine to cut off their Russian gas supplies to the country, which would mean that in winter time, many Ukrainian people would freeze to death. And Germany knows that danger. But it's saying that they have talked with Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, and that they trust that Putin won't do that. But if you know the history of Vladimir Putin, you know that you shouldn't trust this man. And Germany knows that. But they are still willing to build Nord Stream to despite of that.
Thanks very much for that, Josue. It does sound like a just a really sobering set of developments all sort of coinciding, happening at once there. It gives us a lot to keep our eye on for sure. And we will also include a link in our show notes for today's episode to Josue's article called Germany and France Plan to Reform the EU, and also to his other article called Can Sanctions Stop Nord Stream 2? So just go to thetrumpet.com and click on the Trumpet Hour Hub to find links to those articles and links to the other literature for today's episode. I'm Jeremiah Jacques, and that will do it for today's Trumpet Hour. You can send any comments or questions about the show to letters@thetrumpet.com. Thanks very much to Josue Michels for his contributions today. Thanks also to Nick Irwin and Dwight Falk for engineering and production. And I'll leave you with this thought from Abigail Adams. Learning is not attained by chance. It must be sought for with ardor and attended to with diligence. Thank you for joining us on Trumpet Hour. Until next time, keep watching your world.
Listening to Trumpet Hour on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. Understand your world.